Chapter 12. Punishment. Madame Rakan's life was terrible. She wanted to die. She decided that she would stop eating. She refused all food. She wanted to kill herself. Thérèse tried to make her aunt eat some food, but the old woman would not open her mouth.
"Leave her alone,"
Laurent shouted at his wife.
"If the old woman wants to die, let her die."
When she heard these words, Madame Rakan made a decision. She did not want to die now. She did not want to make the murderers' lives easier. She decided to live. Madame Rakan wanted revenge. And she believed that she would not have long to wait. The murderers would soon be punished. Laurent and Thérèse were slowly destroying each other. Thérèse and Laurent wanted to escape from each other. They wanted to run away, but they could not. If they ran away, their friends would think again about Camille's death. They would remember that Laurent had been Camille's best friend. They would think about how and why Laurent and Thérèse got married. Then they would think that Laurent and Thérèse were guilty of a crime. The murderers would be caught, brought back to Paris, and executed. One day, Thérèse asked Suzanne Michaud to come and serve in the shop with her. Suzanne was delighted, and the two women sat behind the counter, talking all day. Madame Rakan and Francois sat upstairs. The draper's shop had very few customers now. All the goods were old and dirty. Thérèse did not care about her customers or the business at all. Sometimes she went out in the afternoon and left Suzanne to look after the shop. When Thérèse returned to the Passage du Pont Neuf in the evening, she looked very tired. Laurent had nothing to do, and he was very bored. He could not paint, because every face that he painted looked like Camille. Sometimes Laurent walked along by the River Seine. Sometimes he slept all day in his studio. The mark left by Camille's teeth on Laurent's neck was still painful. The bite mark had not disappeared. Laurent saw it every day and remembered how he had murdered Camille. Laurent hated his wife, and he hated Madame Rakan. And his hatred of Madame Rakan's tabby cat, Francois, became stronger and stronger. The cat sat on Madame Rakan's knees all day. He watched Laurent with his big green eyes. Laurent began to think that Francois knew all about the murder of Camille. One evening, Laurent decided to kill the animal. He picked up the cat and opened the sitting room window. Immediately, Madame Rakan understood what Laurent was going to do. Two tears ran down her pale face. Francois fought Laurent and tried to bite him, but the poor cat could not get away. Laurent threw the animal out of the window. Francois's head hit the high black wall, and with one terrible cry, he died. Poor Madame Rakan had cried when her son died, and now she cried when she saw Francois die. Laurent soon had other things to worry him. Thérèse had become very quiet. She no longer tried to please her aunt. Thérèse also stopped quarrelling with her husband. Sometimes she did not speak to him at all. Then Thérèse started to go out of the house 4 or 5 times a week. Laurent did not trust his wife. He was afraid that she would go to the police and tell them about the murder of Camille. He thought that she would confess to the crime. Laurent decided to follow Thérèse and find out what she was doing. Early one morning, Laurent sat down outside a wine shop near the Passage du Pont Neuf and waited. After half an hour, Thérèse came out of the arcade. She was dressed in brightly coloured clothes, and her black hair hung about her shoulders. She lifted her dress as she walked, and everyone could see her white stockings and black shoes. She smiled at all the men as she walked along. Laurent followed his wife carefully. She was walking more quickly now. A police officer passed her, and Thérèse smiled at him. Laurent was terrified. Thérèse was going to tell the police officer everything. But she walked on until she came to a little café. The tables outside the café were crowded with students and young women. Thérèse sat down at one of the tables and greeted all the young people. The men and women were drinking wine, smoking cigars, and kissing each other. Thérèse spoke to a waiter and ordered a drink. Then she started to talk to a fair-haired young man. When they had finished their drinks, Thérèse and the young man got up and walked away. Thérèse was holding the young man's arm. Laurent followed them and saw them go into a cheap hotel. A few minutes later, Thérèse and the young man were standing together by an open window. The fair-haired man put his arms round Thérèse and kissed her.
"Thérèse is making love to strangers, and they are paying her," Laurent said to himself. "I don't care. I'll ask Thérèse for a few thousand francs when she gets home this evening."
That night, Thérèse came home late. Laurent did not say that he had seen her at the café with the young man. Thérèse looked tired, and she smelt of cigar smoke and wine. She ate nothing at dinner.
"I want you to give me some money," Laurent said. 5,000 francs will be enough."
Thérèse refused.
"No, you'll soon want more," she replied. "We're spending too much money. You've got no job. The shop isn't making any money now. I give you an allowance of 100 francs a month, and I pay for all your food. That's more than enough."
"I want 5,000 francs, Laurent said again.
"We've bought everything for you for 4 years, Thérèse shouted. "There's a word for a man who women pay for."
"You've learnt that word from your new friends,"
Laurent said. But he did not say more. He did not tell Thérèse that he had seen her with her new friends. Thérèse looked at her husband with anger in her dark, shining eyes.
"At least my new friends are not murderers," she said quietly.
Laurent's face became very pale.
"I don't want to quarrel any more," he said. "Give me the money."
"No."
Laurent jumped up, and Thérèse thought that he was going to hit her.
"You're making me mad," he shouted. "I shall go to the police and tell them everything."
Thérèse stood up too.
"Very well," she said. "Let's go to the police together."
"Yes, we'll go together,"
Laurent replied. But when they got downstairs, they both stopped. They were too afraid to go any further. Thérèse was the first to speak.
"You can have the money," she said. "I don't care."
She left the room and came back a few minutes later with 5,000 francs. Laurent now had money, and he began to enjoy himself. He went out with women. He got drunk in wine shops, and sometimes he stayed out all night. But nothing made him feel happy. Laurent did not care for food and kisses anymore. And when he returned home to Thérèse and Madame Racan, he felt afraid again. After a few weeks, he decided not to spend any more money. Then Thérèse stopped going out and meeting men. Nothing made her happy now. She stayed in the house, wore dirty clothes, and did not wash herself. The two murderers were together in the house all day. They began to quarrel again. They both said that they would go to the police and confess. They watched each other with fear in their eyes. Thérèse began to wish that Laurent was dead. And Laurent began to wish that Thérèse was dead. Only a second murder could save them. Laurent decided to kill Thérèse because he hated and feared her. Thérèse decided to kill her husband for the same reasons. Their plans were exactly the same. First murder, then escape with Thérèse's money. Thérèse had hidden the money, but Laurent knew where it was. Laurent bought some prussic acid, a powerful poison. Thérèse took a sharp knife from the kitchen and hid it in the pocket of her dress. Thursday evening arrived, and the domino players walked cheerfully up the stairs to the room over the draper's shop. They had been meeting together every Thursday for 4 years. They had never thought that anything was wrong in the Racans' home. And they did not think that anything was wrong on this day. They were sure that the Racans were all happy. Thérèse and Suzanne talked together as usual. Grivet told his silly jokes as usual. Laurent laughed loudly at all of Grivet's stories, as usual. Madame Racan waited and watched. Soon the murderers would be punished for their crime. She hoped that she would live long enough to see them punished. That evening, the friends stayed much later than usual. It was 11:30 when they finished their last game of dominoes. Grivet and the Michauds got ready to leave.
"This is such a happy place. We never want to go home,"
old Michaud said, and he smiled at Madame Racan.
"I'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock,
Suzanne said to Thérèse.
"No," Thérèse said quickly. "I'll be out tomorrow morning. Come in the afternoon."
Thérèse and Laurent went downstairs with their visitors and locked the door of the shop. Their hands were shaking and they did not look at each other. Then they went upstairs and sat down at the table. They did not look at Madame Racan. Suddenly Laurent said,
"Well, are we going to bed?"
"Yes, we're going to bed,"
Thérèse replied. She stood up and picked up the water jug.
"I'll prepare a drink for us before you take Aunt to her bed."
"No, I'll make a drink tonight,"
Laurent said quickly. He turned away from his wife and filled a glass with water from the jug. He poured the poison into the glass and then put in some sugar. As Laurent turned away from her, Thérèse pulled the knife out of her pocket. They both turned towards each other at the same moment. Thérèse looked at the glass and then Laurent saw the knife in his wife's hand. Madame Racan sat and watched. Suddenly, Thérèse and Laurent began to cry. They stood completely still, looking at each other for the last time. Then Thérèse took the glass, drank half of the poisoned water, and gave the glass back to Laurent. He drank too. As they fell down to the floor together, Thérèse's mouth touched the mark on Laurent's neck. Laurent and Thérèse lay on the sitting room floor all night. The light from the lamp shone down on their twisted bodies. For almost 12 hours, Madame Racan stared at the corpses of the murderers. She could not move and she could not cry out. But she had a look of terrible joy in her eyes. She was happy. Her son's murderers had their punishment at last.